FM's Big Red Bench with Regions of Washington Street, your home for the perfect match.
You're very welcome along to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Joe Harrington and Aidan O'Sullivan with you until 7 this evening. We've got an absolutely brilliant show in the next 60 minutes. We've reaction to Ireland's defeat to England today at the Aviva Stadium. In-depth analysis on the way from former Ireland flanker David Corkery.
It wasn't Kidney's fault they lost today. I mean, like what else could you do? I mean, who else would you put on that field? He picked the best 15 current show in Irish rugby. Maybe a Barry Heaslip, I would have Colin in there, James Colin. But apart from that, no. I mean, you can't blame Kidney. The man is a genius for what he's done, and he leaves no stone unturned in terms of preparation for games. And anybody who's taken that option really is just taking the easy option.
More from David very shortly. We'll hear from Munster's Ian Keatley and Rob Penny after last night's win over Edinburgh.
But hopefully what's happening is, the supporters can see a bit of benefit of being a little bit patient, because the lads play some really attractive footy out there, and you can get a result playing that sort of rugby, and it was great in those conditions that the young blokes were able to achieve that.
Disappointment for the Cork footballers last night, losing to Kildare in the Allianz League. Connor Coonan's reaction coming up.
I didn't. I was about 30 yards away, but look, I didn't see any reaction from anyone but the linesman. But look, that's done now. There's no coming back from it. But certainly, it was a turning point.
Glossa Cree 3 manager Aidan Moynihan talks to us following their defeat in the semi-final of the Curran Every.
I suppose you try and guard against any bit of complacency or any fellow taking his foot off the pedal. And I suppose no matter how much you guard against it, it may always happen with one or two, So maybe that was responsible for it. But you'd have to hand credit to St. Brendan's too, They had some fine natural footballers, and we struggled with them. We were bailing water there for the first 10, 15 minutes of the second half.
We have a special interview with new Cork City captain Kevin Murray this evening. He talks to us about pre-season, tomorrow's game at Cliftonville, and he clears up the recent strike rumours.
We were in discussions with the board, obviously the Santa Cup begins, 3 weeks before the season, so the player, as players, we were just trying to come to some agreement with the board, in relation to, getting covered, getting payment for some of those games.
We also talked to Kevin about his Cork City teammates, and he gave some pretty interesting answers.
We call him the silent assassin, he puts in his little comments, he can be quite past remarkable at times,
Find out who he's talking about a little later on, and I will also wrap up today's Premier League action. Love for you to get involved in the show this evening. Your thoughts on Ireland and England. Disappointing, obviously, for Declan Kidney's men up in the Aviva Stadium today. You can tweet us at Big Red Bench, or else you can text us on 083-317-3336. We'll get to that Ireland game in a second. But first, Aidan, to wrap up all of today's results.
Yeah, we'll start with that disappointing result, I suppose. England have beaten Ireland by 12 points to 6 at the Aviva in their Six Nations match today. Ronan O'Gara with two penalties, the only scorer for Ireland. Simon Zeebo and Johnny Sexton both limped off for Ireland with serious-looking injuries. Manchester United have moved 12 points clear at the top of the Premier League. The league leaders won 2-0 against Everton at Old Trafford. Ryan Giggs and Robin van Persie with the goals in that one. Earlier on, Aston Villa beat West Ham 2-1 at Villa Park to move out of the relegation zone. Christian Benteke and Charles Nzogbia scored the goals for Villa there. Two Gaelic games were in the Allianz Football League in Division 1. It finished Kerry 4 points, Dublin 1-11 in Killarney. Good win for Dublin there. While in Castlebar, it finished Mayo 1-11, Tyrone 1-12. In the Division 2 matches, it finished Derry 1-17, Laois 2-11, and Westmeath beat Longford by 2-7 to 1-8. In hurling, Dublin won the Walsh Cup today with a 119-16 points victory over Wexford, while in the golf, Richard Stearney claimed a 7-shot win at the Joburg Open today. He finished up on 27 under par. Brad Snedeker and James Hahn have a share of the lead going into their final round at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am on the PGA Tour. The American pair will both tee off from 12 under par.
Chris, so thanks, Aidan. Just some injury news in on the Irish lads from today. Simon Zeebo is going to be out for 10 weeks with a broken bone in his foot. So that's terrible news for Ireland and Munster, because that Heineken Cup quarter final is coming up at Harlequins very soon. So it looks like he's going to miss that. Johnny Sexton will have a scan on what looks like a hamstring tear. And Declan Kidney has said he could be out for a couple of weeks. So not such bad news on Sexton, but absolutely terrible news on Simon Zeebo, out for 10 weeks with a broken bone in his foot. Shocking stuff. Just on the game today, England led 6-0 at the break thanks to two penalties from Owen Farrell. Ronan O'Gara, who came on for the injured Johnny Sexton, responded with two penalties in the second half. Then Farrell restored England's 6-point lead with two more pens as they secured their first championship win over Ireland in Dublin since 2003. Next up for Kidneys Men is a trip to Murrayfield in 2 weeks' time when they take on Scotland. But to look back on today's performance in more detail, I spoke to former Munster and Irish international David Corkery.
Yeah, look, Joe, there was no arguments really with the final score. They were certainly beaten by a better side today. You can look at a lot of different things. You can look at the weather. You can blame that. You can look at this. You can look at the injuries that Ireland had in the first half. But really, they were out muscled. Certainly in the first half, the amount of unforced errors was ridiculous. I know the weather conditions weren't great, but I mean, these are all international players with great quality and great skills, and to be dropping balls like that, quite simple balls to catch, is unacceptable. And that I didn't give Ireland the platform they needed in the first 20 minutes. And I think when England kind of quashed the first 20 minutes of Ireland's threat, I think that was kind of it was a good picture as to where the game was going to go.
Did the players look nervous for you?
They did, yeah. I think that had a lot to do with the amount of unforced errors. I think they were they had one eye on the ball and one eye as to what was coming towards them, because England certainly were going to be very, very physical in this game, and they're big boys now, and when they hit hard, and those two kickoffs that Jamie Heaslip dropped, he wouldn't normally do that. And I just have to say, I think he had one eye on the ball and one eye on what was coming towards him, getting ready for the hit. So again, I think there certainly was a bit of nervousness there, and you'll always have nerves in a big game like that, but it's how you use them can determine the outcome of the game.
Yeah, I suppose the game was always going to need a bit of spark, and the guy who's been sparkling for Ireland over the last game and Munster since Christmas is Simon Zeebo.
Yeah.
And seeing him come off after 11 minutes, that would have probably been a bit of a blow, would it?
It would. I mean, and it would be a huge blow to him as well. Like, and I suppose it just goes to show, what a week can do in terms of sport. You're a national hero and nearly a worldwide hero. Yeah. 1 week, and then the following week you're gone after 10 minutes after pulling a hamstring. So that's sport, and that's the beauty of it. But and then for Sexton to go as well shortly after that, I think Sexton probably would have been a bigger loss. I mean, he's world class, and I think Ireland's kicking game certainly suffered in the second half. They were, they were kicking aimlessly just on England's back three, and England's back three player had a fantastic game, and especially good at full back. He dealt with everything. He had so much time and so much space on the ball, and he did great. And in my opinion, he would have been man of the match today.
Like in the first half, Owen Farrell, he kicked two penalties and he missed one as well. Would you put the fact that Ireland were giving away so many penalties down to the conditions as well?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think they probably got very frustrated when things didn't go their way. I think they certainly lost their rag. And I know this may come across wrong, but I think Healy will be cited, and I think they'll be 100% correct to cite him for what he did in the game.
Yeah.
You can't, these guys are role models to young kids, and when you see someone going in with the intent that he did on the English player's leg, I mean, he could have broken his leg and finished his career with that stamp. And then a couple of minutes later, then he went in with two swinging fists. They're intelligent guys. They know that the cameras are there. They know the citing process and stuff like that. So, he probably will be cited, and there's a good chance that he could miss the rest of the Six Nations. And, Ireland need a player of his ability and strength and power. And, it was just stupid. And I think it was just down to frustration that things didn't go their way. And those things happen in the game. But again, they need to be a bit more clever than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose the start of the second half, things looked a bit brighter. Rodge kicked that penalty, and then Haskell was in the sin bin. At that point, things were looking really up, weren't they?
Yeah, certainly Ireland came out in the second half, and they whatever was said at halftime, their scrum situation was sorted out, and they had a great couple of scrums there where they actually got two penalties from it. The game went back to 6-6. Haskell was put in the bin on the 57th minute, and Ireland were in intensity, and all of a sudden, just England raised their game, which is a great sign of a team. For that 10-minute period, I think on average it's worth 7 points. when a man is in the bin to the opposition, and it was actually England who got the 6 points in that period, and that really was the key moment of the game.
Yeah.
That England were able to turn the screw that little bit harder, and the subs that they brought on as well, I think, made a big difference to Alagi there in the centre. He's such a powerful man. You know, they made a difference, and that was a key issue as well, that the English bench was a lot stronger than the Irish bench, and to bring those guys on and, you know, give them an extra little pep in their step, I think made a huge difference.
Yeah, like, I suppose with 15 minutes to go, England were 6 points up, 12-6. At that point, like, for us watching it here in the office, it looked like Ireland just were lacking in ideas where they were going to get a score, because it looked like they did need a try, and it just didn't come. Was it the same for you? Did you see a lack of kind of ideas?
Yeah, it's like, certainly, I mean, like, I can't remember a single line break in the entire game for Ireland, and that's kind of what they thrive on. That's the likes of O'Driscoll getting through, creating space and offloading to the likes of Gilroy and Zeebo then, and there was nothing there. I think that probably comes down to the English defence. They were well up for it. They just battered Ireland. They certainly won the physical contest in that game. And just you need line breaks in a game situation like that, and they just didn't have it. English defence was too good, they were too strong, they were too big, they were too powerful, and you know, amazingly, it was actually the youngest team in history ever to play a Six Nations game, and it just goes to show that what Lancaster is doing, he's building a squad, he's getting him ready for the World Cup in 3 years' time, and you know, we don't really seem to be taking that approach. We just kind of go from one game to the next and so on. And they're building a squad, and they've got a very, very young squad now, and come 3 years' time they'll be an incredible team.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, Sam, the one kind of positive for Ireland today was the line-out maul. They seem to be well on top in that aspect of the game. Were you surprised Ireland didn't maybe kick a little bit more into the corners and try to contest in those line-outs a bit more?
Yeah, I mean, they certainly had a few opportunities, but they decided to take their points, just kind of to stay in touch. And the other line-out was good, but, you know, it's little consequence, really. It doesn't really mean a huge amount when you lose a game of that context to have a good maul and a good line out. You know, winning really is all that matters at that level. And yes, they will look at that as a positive, but that really was the only positive in today's performance. You know, the big worry now, kind of going into the next few weeks in Scotland game, now is in 2 weeks' time away. You know, they'll probably be without Sexton, they'll probably be without Zeebo, and more than likely they'll be without Healy as well. So, you know, they're three key players, three, you know, experienced quality players to be without, and going forward, you know, it's going to be tough now. So from 1 week, 7 days ago, we were looking, we were talking about a championship and a Grand Slam, and now all of a sudden we're kind of we're batting down the hatches to kind of to save a bit of face. So again, as I say, that's sport, and that's the beauty of it, and that's why we love it so much.
Yeah, you mentioned injuries. I have to mention Brian O'Driscoll on the day of the birth of his first child, to put in a performance of that physicality, and at one stage it looked like he had one leg, and to continue playing and continue putting in the hits, he's just a once off, really.
Yeah, I mean, the man is like, the mould was certainly broken when Brian O'Driscoll was produced, and you know, we can kind of go back and look at the captaincy issue again, and Heaslip, and like I keep on saying it, I don't think Heaslip was the correct choice to be made captain. I just think he lacks leadership qualities. I think when the push comes to shove in close games like we saw today, I just don't think he's at the races. And you know, like, whether Kidney was right or wrong to take the captaincy off O'Driscoll, that's up for debate, but certainly, you know, he made the decision, and I just think there were better options there. I think you look at Peter O'Mahony, you look at Sexton, you look at and Rob Kearney probably would have been my first choice to take over the captaincy role. So again, that's just a matter of opinion. That's my opinion. But like you know, again, you speak about O'Driscoll and just the sheer leadership qualities that he brings, and the respect that he holds every single person on the, you know, every single person in world rugby now at this stage. But in the Irish dressing room, I mean, he's just immense, and what he brings onto the field, you know, people look at him and they, in times of doubt, you always look for your leader. And you know, whether he was, obviously he wasn't captain today, but again, he just played the leadership quality, he played the leader role, and he was just immense. And as I say, look, you know, I don't think we'll ever see his likes again. Yes, we'll have players who will bring other attributes to the Irish jersey, but O'Driscoll was a once off, and you know, in my opinion, I think he's probably the best rugby player ever in the game worldwide. Simple as that.
Well, Declan Kidney, I just just looking on Twitter there, he's getting a lot of abuse already and a lot of criticism, and that'll probably be in the papers now tomorrow morning and stuff like that as well. But it's easy to criticise, man, but tactically, maybe, what would you have done differently today, or did he get it wrong tactically for you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, like people will always look to Kidney, they'll always look to the coach to blame, that's the first finger that that will always be pointed. You know, it's kind of taking the easy option. No, I mean, like, tactics-wise, there wasn't much more they could do. Like, England dominated the game from start to finish. And, you know, when Ireland didn't kind of set the tone in the first 20 minutes, England, again, just took advantage of that, and they just grew in confidence and the power and the size. And again, I keep on going back to the strength on their bench and just the composure and discipline they showed throughout the 80 minutes. You know, it outclassed Ireland. And, you know, as I say, when you see the likes of Healy making stupid decisions and, you know, going in with the boot and swinging arms and stuff like that. That's discipline, that's composure, and on Healy's part it was frustration. But look, people who were pointing the finger at Kidney are completely wrong. Last week they were calling him a hero, and this week now they're probably calling for his head again. That's, you know, that's international rugby, and that's people's choices. But like, it wasn't Kidney's fault they lost today. I mean, like what else could you do? I mean, who else would you put on that field? He picked the best 15 current show in Irish rugby. Maybe a Barry Heaslip, I would have Colin in there, James Colin. But apart from that, no. I mean, you can't blame Kidney. Like, the man is a genius for what he's done, and he leaves no stone unturned in terms of preparation for games. So anybody who's taken that option really is just taking the easy option.
The championship isn't over yet. England have to win all their games to win the Grand Slam and guarantee the championship. They've got two home matches next against France and Italy, and then they're away to Wales in the Millennium Stadium in the final round of matches. Can you see them losing any of those games on what you saw today and on what we saw last week?
Yeah, on current form, no, you couldn't. You know, like they didn't seem to have any major injury worries today. They certainly won't have exciting. Their squad is strong. Their squad is young. And like they will build in Lancaster, who kind of came in and took over from Johnson, has done a fantastic job. He suffers no fools, you know, and it's his way or no way. And I think the discipline that he's brought into the side is second to none, and that's what you need at that level. But you know, you can't really see England being beaten. But look, sport is sport, and anything can happen on the day. You know, you say Ireland have a chance of winning the championship now as well. They do, but, you know, heading to Scotland in 2 weeks' time is going to be no easy feat. And I know Scotland aren't great at the moment, but they would have their victory yesterday over Italy. They got the 5 tries they scored in that game, and that will give them a huge amount of confidence. And they're never easy to play in Scotland. Scotland is a cold, miserable, damp place, and, you know, when things go wrong up there, they tend to go wrong in a big way. So, you know, and like, again, you look at the games, you've got France now coming to Dublin after that, and you know, France have lost 2 games on the row, and like, you know, the laws of average will tell you that they're going to turn that around very, very quickly, and their backs are to the wall, and they're going to produce a performance that's going to be groundbreaking as well. So it's this Six Nations is a fantastic competition. I think it's only second to the Heineken Cup. But look, on the day, anybody can beat anybody. And like, Italy beat France last week, Wales beat France this week. So it's, you know, it's fantastic competition. But going on form, you have to tip England to go all the way.
Yeah. Finally, David. Disappointment, obviously, for Ireland today. But over the weekend, there's been wins for the Irish club sides, the under-20s, the women's, and the legends. And you were involved in that legends match last night. 26-19, beating the old enemy. Good fun. Good crack.
It's great crack, and it's for a fantastic cause as well. I mean, like, what you have basically is a bunch of old farts trying to relive their youth and probably thinking they still can. But look, the body is sore today. It's bruised, but as you say, to get one over the old enemies, it doesn't happen that often, and you'll take it. And look, as I say, you look at the 20s, who had a fantastic win, the Irish club side, who had a great win in Cork Con over the weekend. And you really have to especially mention the ladies side. I mean, they beat England 25-0. It was the first time in the history they've ever beaten them. It was the first time in 3 years that the English ladies team have been beaten, and the first time in, I think it was 70 matches, that they've actually lost the game. So that was an incredible performance, and you know, to beat them 25-0 is just incredible, just a huge credit to them. So unfortunately the senior boys didn't finish it off today, but look, you know, they'll move forward, and the only good thing about the injuries is that maybe some younger guys will come in now and get a bit of experience at that level. And you know, I believe in a Hughes is the way forward, and if we're to prepare for a World Cup in 3 years' time, we have to make those calls now, not 12 months before a World Cup. That doesn't give enough time to prepare for international rugby.
That's David Corkery looking back on today's defeat for Ireland against England at the Aviva Stadium, going down by 12 points to 6 in the end. And I saw Sam, I spoke to David just before we came on air, and the news has broken since that Simon Zeebo is going to be out for 10 weeks with a broken bone in his foot. Johnny Sexton, not as bad. He's going to have a scan on a hamstring tear. Declan Kidney says that could be a couple of weeks. Aidan, what's your reaction to the Zeebo news, first of all?
Oh, it's devastating news for Simon Zeebo, you know, a guy who's coming in with such great form, you know, made such an impression in his Six Nations debut, and to be robbed of him, and so early in the game as well, you know, when he didn't have a chance to get into it today, you know, it's a shame. And from a Munster perspective, he's a massive loss, you know, going into tough Heineken Cup campaign, and yeah it's really, really tragic news, really, for Simon and for Munster.
Yeah, I was trying to work it out really fast. 10 weeks from now is April 21st.
Yeah.
And Munster play Harlequins on April 7th. So there obviously is there's a chance he could be back in time, but it's absolutely very slim. On the game today, myself and yourself watched it outside in the office. Disappointed with that whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, it was flat from Ireland, I think, particularly in the first half. There was no spark, there was no inspiration coming through from the players. There was handling errors, you know. Yeah. I think Jamie Heaslip, you know, not his finest game in an Ireland shirt, it's fair to say. You know, there was indiscipline. Talk about the Keane Healy, you know, incident. Really, you know, he seemed to lose his head there completely, and it's definite that he will be cited, and it's definite he's going to miss some game time over that. You know, O'Driscoll O'Kay threw a fantastic pass in the first half that nearly unlocked the English defence, but overall, I think you can't argue that the best team won, and when you only put 6 points on the board, it's going to be difficult.
Absolutely. We'd love to know what you thought of today's game. You can text us on 0833173336. Or you can tweet us at Big Red Bench. We're going to stay with rugby for a few minutes now, because Munster picked up their first win of the season in Musgrave Park last night as they beat Edinburgh 30-3. A poor first half saw the Reds lead by 6-3 at the break, but Munster came out a different side in the second half. Keatley was clinical with the boot, kicking 4 penalties before CJ Sander touched down for the first try on 68 minutes. That really kind of finished the game as a contest. Mike Sherry went over with 7 minutes to go to put the icing on a great second half performance. We'll hear from man of the match Ian Keatley very shortly, but first I spoke to head coach Rob Penny.
Goodness sake, we've battled to get one here. Really pleasing, and really pleasing in which the manner in which it was achieved as well. You know, the guys played a good brand and expressed themselves, and that's what we said to them to do. We didn't want them to be inhibited by by the burden maybe, and haven't played a lot, but they came in, and great credit to them.
Yeah, so many new lads in tonight as well. It's been really proud of those guys' performances.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, they don't get a lot of opportunity, and they have to sit in the wings, and they work hard behind the scenes, and sometimes they, you know, when they get an opportunity, it's in the public eye, you know, that they don't always get rewarded for the work that they put in. But tonight's group, you know, I think everyone's pretty pleased with what happened, and they can, you know, justifiably feel very proud of themselves, as we are.
Yeah, outscored Edinburgh 24-0 in the second half. Is that one of the better 40-minute periods you've had this season?
I think we've had... with this group, certainly. I'd have to say that the way they played in that second half was commanding. I think there was... I don't think they'd had the ball in that first 20 minutes of that second half, which we just dominated possession, territory, and just sucked the life out of the Edinburgh boys.
Yeah, I suppose just two games on the road now coming up as well, so that makes it extra important that you get to get the win tonight.
We've slipped up a couple of times here, so it was really important for us to get a win here in front of the Cork supporters and the Munster people from throughout this side of the Munster region, because it hasn't been pretty up until now. But hopefully what's happening is the supporters can see a bit of benefit of being a little bit patient, because the lads, you know, played some really attractive footy out there, and you can get a result playing that sort of rugby, and it was great in those conditions that the young blokes were able to achieve that.
Rob Penny there speaking after the win against Edinburgh. Joe, you were down there, you were at the game. What did you make of it?
It was just the classic game of two halves. The first period was really dull, to be honest. It was 6-3 at the break. And to be honest, Edinburgh probably looked more likely to get the try. They had most of the possession. In fairness, Munster's defence was good at times. So there were a lot of errors, a lot of penalties. And the first half was one to forget. And I think maybe a kind of a first half like that can happen after you've had such a long break since their last game. I mean, it's been 3 weeks since the Huntington Cup game, I think, so maybe that was to be expected. But completely different Munster side in the second half. And they kind of built their kind of, I suppose, the foundation of the win from the boot of Ian Keatley. He was absolutely fantastic from the boot in the second half. I think he kicked 6 of his 8 kicks altogether. And he just kind of started kind of just really chipping away at the scoreboard and putting the game a little bit out of reach for Edinburgh. And then on the 70-minute mark, the first try went over. It was some great play by Hanrahan and Ivan Dineen in the centre. They linked up really well all night, actually. And Ivan Dineen chipped it over the top, and CJ Stander, who is a player, he's a back row, he's a flanker, but the pace he has is absolutely, like, I think it's outstanding. He's so fast over the ground, and he kind of ran in under the post, kind of unchallenged, really. So that was good. And then the Edinburgh heads just dropped, and 4 minutes before time, then Mike Sherry went over a try. That was some good work up the kind of far side of the pitch, and from in close he sniped and went over, and then Keely actually missed a conversion, but 30 points to 3 is how it finished.
When we speak about Munster nowadays, we talk about an expansive game plan. Was there evidence of that maybe in the second half? Did they use the width of the pitch, or did they maybe mix it up and play a more traditional Munster game, you know, with the expansive game?
Yeah, like even in the first half they tried, to be honest, to kind of spin the ball wide a lot and use the width, like you said. And it just really wasn't clicking in the first half, but in the second half, absolutely. I thought, to be honest, JJ Hanrahan really stood out for me. Ian Keatley was excellent as well, and so was Dennis Hurley. But they went through a lot of phases. They built up the phases, and they tried some kind of clever things. I thought Hanrahan, especially, he had a grubber kick through, and I think it was Johnny Murphy who was so close to touching it down in the corner. And Hanrahan made a few line breaks as well. But it looked like the game plan that Rob Penny wants, and they were very good. And I have to say the pack were excellent as well, and especially the lineout. Ian Nagle really impressed me, and the defensive lineout as well. They contested a lot of them, and they won a few, and they disrupted Edinburgh. But a great second half performance.
JJ Hanrahan is a man you've mentioned there, you know, a guy with, I suppose, not pressure, but a lot of talk about JJ now. You know, is he a guy that can do it for Munster, you know, at a higher level?
Yeah, I think so. I suppose, like, he's still so young. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of wrong to put too much pressure on the guy. But last night, the first half he was quiet, but most of the Munster, but the back line were quite going forward, especially defensively, they were quite solid. But I think the second half he came to light. He just looks like the kind of guy who's a real footballer. He's kind of thinking one step ahead of the opposition, and he can spot little spaces to kind of kick the ball into, and maybe he's got a nice step on him as well to get around the opposition. So he did impress me last night, but the man who stood out was Ian Keatley. He picked up man of the match, and he spoke to us after the game.
I'm delighted to get man of the match, but I think, like, in fairness, I couldn't have done that without the lads in there, and credit to them. It was a rough week. We had a few mistakes with a lot of changes into the team, but it came good tonight, and I'm just delighted that the new lads who got their first and second caps of the season, they really stepped up to the plate tonight.
It must be a great confidence booster for the squad, considering that a lot of the lads are away at the international, to get a win like this and score twice like you did tonight.
Yeah, as I said, like, it takes a squad to win trophies, and that's what we're going for this year. And this is a key period of the season when the lads are off international duties. We still have a job to do here, and like I said already, like, for the likes of JJ, Ivan, Danny, Johnny, Ian Nagle, they're all getting their chance, and they stood up tonight, and I was delighted to see them play so well.
Ian, the first half was pretty scrappy. What was the message at half time? Just kind of keep the head.
Yeah, I think both teams were trying to size each other up in the first half, and I think we did show glimpses of good attack and play, but I think they had most of the ball in the first half, and I think we weathered their storm pretty well and went into half time with the lead, and a few words said at half time, but we came good in the second half.
Yeah, even the tries came a bit late. Like, you got your phases together pretty good, and there were some good passages of play before the tries went over.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of good plays that we actually didn't get the rewards from. And I think JJ played very well with Ivan in their centre partnership, and they're mixing up the game very well with their passing and the kicking display. So Yeah, just delighted for the new lads coming in.
I suppose it makes the wins probably a little bit better, because after the break things can be a bit unpredictable, and like you said, with so many new lads in as well, and like to win by that margin as well must be massively pleasing.
Yeah, it was. I think the pressure that we put on them took its toll in the end, and we didn't have enough ball in the first half to put that pressure on them, and then the second half we kept the ball and put the pressure on them. We got penalties and we kept the scoreboard ticking up.
Good win for Munster last night. Like I said, 30-3 is how it finished, and trips to Scarlett's and Treviso up next. We're going to take a break now, but still loads more to come. We're going to talk to Conor Coonan. He's going to give us his thoughts on the defeat to Kildare, Crease 3 manager Aidan Moynihan, and an interview with New Cork City captain Kevin Murray, all on the way. Stay with us.
The Big Red Bench with Regions of Washington Street, your home for the perfect match.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench on Corksford FM. Joe Harrington and Aidan O'Sullivan with you until 7 this evening. We'd love for you to get involved in the show. You can tweet us at Big Red Bench, or you can text us on 083-317-3336. Your thoughts on Ireland's defeat to England, maybe. What did you make of the performance up in the Aviva today? We still have a bit more to come. Conor Coonan on the way. Crease 3 reaction from their manager Aidan Moynihan after the defeat to St Brendan's today. We also have an interview with Kevin Murray. We talk about all the serious stuff like pre-season, Cliftonville and all of that. We also asked somebody's Cork's Corksford City teammates.
We call him the silent assassin, like, you know. He puts in his little comments, like, you know, he's a, you know, he can be quite past remarkable at times, like, you know.
Find out who he's talking about a little bit later on, but first, over to Aidan for a roundup of all of today's results.
Thanks, Joe. Well, if you haven't heard, England have beaten Ireland by 12-6 at the Aviva in their Six Nations match. Munster's Ronan O'Gara with two penalties, the only scorer for Ireland today. Next up for Declan Kidney's men is a trip to Murrayfield in 2 weeks' time to take on Scotland. Manchester United have moved 12 points clear at the top of the Premier League. The league leaders won 2-0 against Everton at Old Trafford. Ryan Giggs and Robin van Persie on the score sheet. Jose Mourinho, an interested spectator at Old Trafford this evening. Earlier on, Aston Villa beat West Ham 2-1 at Villa Park to move out of the relegation zone. Christian Benteke and Charles Nzogbia scored the goals for Villa there. Nigeria and Burkina Faso are contesting the final of the African Cup of Nations this evening. It's just kicked off. There's 3 minutes gone. There is no score to report there yet. To GAA, where in the Allianz Football League in Division 1, it finished Kerry 4 points, Dublin 1-11 in Killarney, while in Castlebar it finished Mayo 1-11, Tyrone 1-12. In the Division 2 games, it finished Derry 1-17, Laois 2-11, and Westmeath beat Longford by 2 goals and 7 points to 1-8. In hurling, Dublin have won the Walsh Cup today with a 119-16 point victory over Wexford. In golf, Richard Stearney claimed a 7-point win at the Jayburg Open today. He finished up on 27 under par, absolutely killing the course. Brant Snedeker and James Hahn have a share of the lead in their final round at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am and the PGA Tour. Both are 12 under par. Both leaders are on the course.
Thanks, Aidan. Just some added news the Ireland game today. Bad news for Munster Simon Zeebo. He's out for 10 weeks with a broken bone in his foot. And Johnny Sexton, who also went off today, he'll have a scan on his hamstring. Looks like a tear. Declan Kidney says he could be out for a couple of weeks. So that's bad news after the defeat as well to England today. We're going to talk Gaelic games now. Cork suffered their second Allianz League defeat in a row last night, losing to Kildare by 2-10-1-9 in Porky Ring. The turning point came just after half time when Cork wingback Damien Cahalan was shown a straight red card for an off the ball incident. The Rebels were still leading though up until 10 minutes to go, but a Kildare goal put them 1 point up, and another goal with 4 minutes to go sealed the win. Aidan was down in Porky Ring last night and he spoke to Conor Coonan, the Cork manager, after the game.
Conor, difficult game tonight, didn't get the result in the end.
Yeah, no, look, I suppose we'd be, you know, disappointed, but I suppose, you know, we were going reasonably well for quite a bit of it, and I suppose the sending off then was a big turning point, and you know, what can you do, you know. It's the second week, second defeat, and it's difficult, but look, we have to move on. We'll 3 weeks now before the next game, and we really need the 2 points in that day, and that's what we've got to focus on now.
You mentioned the sending off, of course. Damien Cahalan is a young player learning his trade. Did you have a view on it?
I didn't. I was about 30 yards away, but look, I didn't see any reaction from anyone but the linesman, and but look, that's done now, and there's no coming back from it. But certainly, you know, it was a turning point.
What about possession wise? You had a lot of possession, particularly in the first half, and seemed to be finding that target man, Colm O'Neill, on the inside line.
Yeah, I thought we were doing reasonably well, but you know, probably could have had a few more scores, which might have given us that bit more cushion. But look, we didn't, and you have to live with that. Then,
speaking of scores, Ciarán Sheen took his goal very well. You know, a lot of good work by Fintan Gould and Paul Kerrigan there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think as a unit we were playing reasonably well, as I said, but we didn't, you know, we probably didn't get enough scores when we were dominant. And as I said, when the extra men came, we were in trouble.
2 points up at half time. What was the message to the players?
Oh, look, just keep playing simple and that sort of thing. And, you know, keep position and keep trying to pick off a score or two and try and defend, you know, be compact in defence. And then, I suppose, you know, but once the extra man came, you know, that certainly paved the way for them to take the game to us a bit more.
Some difficult games ahead. You're away now to Down and Tyrone after the break, so it doesn't get any easier.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing easy in this. But look, we've just won game now that we have to get a focus on, and that's Down and Ory in 3 weeks' time, and that's the one we need to win.
Aidan, you were down at the game last night. In the intro there to the Conor Coonan interview, I described Damien Cahillan's red card as a turning point in the game. Two questions on that. Was it a turning point, and was it a red card?
Yes, certainly. It definitely was a turning point. Was it a red card? The only person that spotted it was the linesman. No one else seemed to see it. You know, Conor, you know, when I asked him after, he didn't see it. And Brian Cuthbert said after as well that he didn't see it. But in fairness to him, you know, as a selector, he wasn't on the sideline. That's another conversation entirely, you know. Nice. But I didn't see it either. But I did see it on replays after. And, you know, from what I saw from the linesman, so it definitely was a red card. It was a rash thing to do from Damien Cahillan. And I'm afraid, you know, he deserved to go.
Because up until that point, Cork were probably playing quite well. And was it fair to say they were kind of in control?
Yeah, I mean, Graham Canty started around the middle of the field, and he, you know, got an awful lot of possession. He was finding Colm O'Neill on the inside, but when Colm was breaking it down, a lot of the time he was going to a Kildare defender, you know. But they did have a lot of possession, and they were finding their target man, and, you know, I think they were quite comfortable. But we have to go back to the sending off, and once the sending off came, it was curtains.
I saw a bit of criticism last night of the tactics that Cork weren't really able to kind of get around that kind of back defence. Did you notice that last night, or would you agree with that?
Well, as I say, they were pumping the high ball in, you know, so it, you know, maybe if Paul Kerrigan or Kieran Sheehan could have got on the ball a bit more and ran at the Kildare defence, maybe they would have profited from it a little bit more. But, you know, from the possession that they had, they certainly were finding Colm O'Neill, and he was getting to the ball. He was either coming out, but, you know, when Colm was collecting the ball, he was going away from the goal, so his hand passes were going backwards. So, you know, I think that, you know, they possibly could have won the match, but, you know, 14 against 15, it's always going to be tough.
Yeah, trips up north the next two games, and then Donegal coming down here, so they got plenty of practice with those packed defences in the next few weeks. They're bottom of the league, or the bottom of the league with Kerry and Down at the moment. All three teams have lost their opening two games. Kind of need a win, don't they?
Well, I mean, Conor alluded to it there. I mean, it's a tough league, you know. You're not going to have easy games. You know, there's quality opposition out there, and, you know, for Cork it's difficult because you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You have to bring in new players, you have to blood new players, you have to find them, you have to pick them, you have to select them and play them in the National League to see, you know, are they any good? And when you do that, you know, there's a cohesiveness in the team that the balance isn't there when you have new players coming in and out. So you have to get the balance right. You have to bring new players in, but you have to get the wins as well on top of that. So look, it's going to be very difficult. You know, Kerry lost today as well. They were absolutely awful against Dublin down in Killarney. Sure. You know, they couldn't take a score from anywhere. So, you know, it is a difficult league, but difficult games coming up. I mean, you go up north there and, you know, playing Down, playing Tyrone, and as you say, Donegal coming down, you know, blanket defence is going to be blanket defence heaven for the northern teams, you know.
Let's get used to the blankets, yeah. We're going to stay at Celtic Games. Disappointment for Colossia Crease, 3 in the Carnivory semi-final this afternoon, losing to St. Brendan's of Killarney. The final score was 15 points to 2-7 in favour of the Kerry school, and I had a chance to speak to Crease manager Aidan Moynihan after the defeat.
Yeah, you know, I suppose in the start of the second half, they really ran us ragged there for a few minutes, and it put us under serious pressure.
And I suppose things started so well for you as well with the goal after about 2 minutes.
Yeah, we had a dream start. We had a dream start. I mean, you couldn't settle any quicker than that, particularly against the wind. But, you know, realistically, I suppose, at halftime, turning around with the winds at our backs, you'd be feeling fairly confident, you know. But first 10, 15 minutes, like I said, caught us in the second half. They really did run us ragged there for a few minutes.
Like, it was 2-4 to 9 points at halftime. What was the feeling in the dressing room at that point?
Well, I suppose, again, every game is the same for us. We the most irrelevant score in any game is halftime score. And I suppose you try and guard against any bit of complacency or any fellow taking his foot off the pedal.
And I suppose no matter how much you guard against it, it may always happen with one or two, you know. So maybe that was responsible for it. But you'd have to hand credit to St. Brendan's too, you know. They had some fine natural footballers, and we struggled with them. You know, we were bailing water there for the first 10, 15 minutes of the second half.
Yeah. So did they change up tactics, or what changed in that opening 15?
I suppose a few positional switches, and I suppose they just settled better in the second half, quicker than us. You know, maybe we took the foot off the pedal a little bit because we thought the wind was going to do work for us.
Yeah, and I suppose, I was kind of just following reports on the game, and they kind of stopped you scoring. Was there a defence on top, or did you have chances in that opening spell?
Yeah, well, I suppose we've never been putting up huge scores on play this year, and we were always struggling in that respect, I suppose. When you look at the points, 7 points, most of them came from frees today. And the two goals were the only exceptions there. But, you know, we were never going to put up a big score from points and play. And, you know, I suppose they just worked a bit harder than us for that period of time in the second half, and that stood to them.
I suppose your lads stuck with it too, though, and, like, we're still within two scores at the very end.
Yeah, I mean, you know, our lads will always, and that's something we instilled from them from a very young age. In Crease Reid, that they'd always go to the final whistle. And we did the same last year, actually, against McCroom at the same stage of the competition. We just never gave up and kept going. And I suppose if one of those chances that came for us there in the second half went in, it could be a very different story, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, did you have any kind of goal chances towards the very end, maybe just to clinch it?
We did. We had two or three. In particular, Barry Madden had one, and Eric Compagno had one, and Alan Nolan had a deflection off of Ian O'Keefe to full forward. But their goalie pulled off two fine saves. On the other side of that, they hit the crossbar on the other side, and our goalie made a fine save. So it was tit for tat, really, and you know they came out the better side of it.
Yeah, do you feel it was one maybe that you left behind, or do you think they deserved it over the 60 minutes?
I suppose our first 15 minutes is what cost us. Had they not dominated us as much as that, then yeah, I might have felt we left it behind. But we were chasing the game after that in the last 15 minutes, so we were trying to steal it rather than it being one we left behind us.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. How are the lads feeling now?
They're all right, you know. I mean, young fellas are very resilient. They, you know, coming back in the bus, you start to hear conversations again, and fellas, you know, the odd joke here and there. So they're coming round grand, and we'll be back to study there next week with them and doing our usual thing, and they're leaving certainly the most important thing now.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Aidan, commiserations on today, and look, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks very much, Joe.
That's Aidan Moynihan, the Crease Reid manager, after talking to me after today's defeat to St. Brendan's of Killarney in the Kearney Avery semi-final. Second semi-final taking place next Sunday between De La Salle McCroom and Pobliscull Cork Aguina. That's a Knocknagree with a 2:30 throw-in time. Talk domestic football now for a while. Cork City get their competitive season underway tomorrow night as they take on Cliftonville in the Setanta Sports Cup. The Rebel Army have had two pre-season friendlies in the last few days. The 1-1 draw with Leeds and the 6-1 win over Longford and Bishopstown yesterday. New Cork City captain Kevin Murray called into us after that game to talk about a number of issues around the club, and we started with the win over Longford.
Yeah, good work. Oh no, I suppose at this stage of the season, really, I'm just trying to build up the match fitness, like, and as you say, we kind of, the majority of us played 45 minutes, like, so it's more kind of minutes in the bank, really, for everyone, and just a bonus to get a good win.
Yeah, like, you played 45 minutes as well on Thursday night against Leeds United. How are you feeling in terms of fitness here? Are you getting close to 100%?
Yeah, we're getting there. I suppose we're back since early January, like, so we kind of, you know, we've had a lot of training sessions. We've been in Forte last week for a 5-day training camp, and, you know, it's just good now to kind of get back into the games, really, like, and get the match practice into us, because obviously with the competitive game starting now, taking fast with the Santa Cup, just looking to build for that.
And how was that training camp in Fola? We spoke to Tommy on Thursday. He said it's basically what you'd have at the top level in England in the Premier League in terms of facilities. I know a lot of the guys took time off from work just to train there twice a day. So how did you find it?
Oh, I found it absolutely terrific, really. The facilities are just got top quality. Like, you know, we were looked after second to none. Like, you know, the food was excellent. The pitches, the gym, everything is top class. Like, and as you say, like what Tommy said about it, you know, about the, you know, the mirror, really, kind of the facilities over in England. Like, you know, and it was just, you know, really stand to us, I think, you know, just with the new squad kind of bedding in and kind of, you know, double sessions every day, like, it would kind of, you know, put us in good stead for the season.
Just compared to last year, do you think preparations and pre-season this year have gone a bit better and a bit smoother?
Yeah, definitely. I think we're like, even, you know, the players like themselves, we have all come back kind of, I think, a lot more kind of, you know, fitter and kind of, you know, ready really. And, you know, with training as well, like, it's kind of been stepped up a notch. And as I say, like, you know, the games now as well coming thick and fast, and just to attend the cup and stuff, I think we'll definitely be ready for Limerick and March the 8th.
Talk to us about some of the newer lads who've come in, like the likes of Darrell Cavanagh now, and how they've all settled into the squad.
Yeah, they've settled, you know, they've settled in very well, really. I suppose, you know, another thing, like the training camp in Forth is good for that as well, you know, when you're kind of, we're kind of wish with each other, like, you know, for full days. But, like, I think a lot of players know each other anyway, you know, so it's just kind of, you know, kind of makes the kind of the transition that bit easier, like. But all the lads have kind of come in really, like, as you're saying, you know, Darrell, Danny Furlong, Darren Dennehy, you know, Adam Rundle, like, you know, and it's kind of, you know, we're all kind of, you know, as I say, you know, we're all ready to go.
Yeah, and I suppose, like, last year, the start of the season wasn't so great, so do you feel now, heading into this year, that you want to get off to a good start, and you're as well prepared as you could be to get off to a good start?
Yeah, definitely, you said it there, you know, we were very disappointed with our start last year, and I think this year, we know ourselves like that, it needs to be better, and, you know, we're kind of, you know, with the build-up now in pre-season and stuff, like, you know, it's all geared towards March the 8th, like, and I think, you know, we're going to be ready to come, you know, come to Homer Park on that Friday night.
With Cliftonville coming up Monday, do you see this Attenta Cup still as pre-season training at this point?
Yeah, I think it really has to be. You know, it's only, as I said, we play kind of 245 minutes really, most of the lads, so, you know, it'd be good to get 90 minutes into some fellas on Monday, and also with the competitive game, like, it's obviously going to kind of put you in good stead, like, for the season, like. But I think it's all kind of more minutes in the bank really for pre-season, and you know, our main aim is just, you know, target a good start in the league. But having said that, we will want to get through in this Attenta Cup also, but, you know, it's more or less we're kind of focusing really on the league game.
Yeah, I should say that their season's in full swing, and they're a pretty good team, so it's going to be a tough test on Monday night as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I've seen them once or twice on Sky Sports when they've been on. They like to play football, like, you know, like ourselves, like. So I think it should be a good game, really, like. And yeah, they're a good side, like, you know, they're in the middle of their season, like, so obviously they're going to be favours coming down, like, you know. But, you know, as I said, like, you know, we'll be going all up to win that game.
There's a bit of unrest in the build-up to that game, I suppose, with talk of player strikes and disagreements with the board and stuff like that. Was there any truth in any of that?
No, we were in discussions with the board, like, you know. Obviously, the Attenta Cup begins, you know, 3 weeks before the season, like. So, as players, like, you know, we were just trying to come to some agreement with the board, like, in relation to, you know, getting covered, you know, getting payment for some of those games. And, you know, it was all amicable. There was never any, you know, threats of strike or anything. You know, it was all good. Like, and we were both parties were negotiating, and, you know, we just got to start it really in the end.
Yeah, so much ado about nothing, so basically.
Exactly.
So Monday night, Turner's Cross, hoping for, a big crowd as well to get you in the rain. I mean, like, I know the crowd against Leeds mightn't have been as big as you'd hoped, but hopefully now that it's a competitive fixture Monday, you get the crowd back.
Yeah, you know, obviously, look, so, I mean, we know ourselves like that. You know, we've got the best fans in the country, like, and I think, you know, if we can kind of start playing the football like that, you know, that kind of, that they want to see, like, then it would make it a lot, you know, increase the gates, really, like. And I suppose that's our main aim, really, playing good football, like, you know, winning games, like, and obviously increasing the attendances as a result.
Just for yourself, I suppose, captain this season and going to be captain for the whole thing, would be a proud moment for you Monday night leading the team out?
Oh, very much so. You know, obviously being from Cork, like, you know, and captain your own city, really, like, you know. You know, it's a huge honour for me personally and my family, and you know. But having said that, like, you know, my aim is just to do well for Cork City, like, you know, win trophies with Cork City, like. And you know, that's my main aim this year, along with the rest of the lads, like. So obviously being captain is a big plus for me personally, like. But you know, I'm still going to be just, you know, winning trophies is our main aim as a club.
I'm just looking ahead to that game in Limerick, and I imagine you're all really looking forward to playing in Thomond Park, which is a magnificent stadium, probably one of the best stadiums in the country.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think it's a great game to start. I'm not sure if it's been changed yet. There's rumours that it could be changed to Sunday for television. I'm not sure if that's confirmed yet. Like, but as you say, like, you know, Thomond Park, Limerick local derby, it's really, you know, I want to kind of whet the appetite, like, you know. We're really, really looking forward to it. But having said that, we've Cliftonville first, and hopefully we get through that tie before the league comes.
Have
Have you been looking around at the other clubs and the business they've been doing, like in the off season?
Not so much. So you know, obviously, you hear stuff in the media. But you know, you'd have your Sligo and Shamrock Rovers who you expect to be strong. I think the league this year will probably be that bit stronger and a bit tougher. You've got obviously your St. Pat's. You've got Limerick now coming up. Like, so we're under no illusions like that. It needs to be better than last year. You know, as a squad and as a team. And I'm sure, like, you know, that's the main aim for us, just improving on last year, really, like, you know, and hopefully maybe even getting European football at the end of the season and try to stay in the cups as much as we can.
Just a word on Ramblers as well. You're all so great to see them back in the League of Ireland.
Yeah, it's super. You know, I'm delighted for them. They've got a great club down there, and you know, I'm sure the public will come out in force and support them. And we've a friendly down there Friday week, like, so I'm looking forward to going back down there and playing down there. The club are very good to me, and I wish them all the best for the year.
I suppose just finally on yourselves, has Tommy talked to you about a target for what you want to achieve this season?
We haven't so much, but I think everybody just, you know, we want to improve on last year. We were sixth last year. I think we probably had too many draws last year, so we threw away a lot of good positions in games, and I think we need to be more ruthless as a team. And I think if we can do that, then I think we definitely will finish, you know, better than sixth place. And the target really is probably, you know, top four European spot, and as I say, maybe a cup run on the way would be nice.
Great to hear from New Cork City captain Kevin Murray. Looking forward to the new season. The competitive season gets underway tomorrow night. They take on Cliftonville in the Setanta Sports Cup in Turner's Cross, and the kick-off time there is 7:45. So head down that if you're a big city fan. Whenever we bring kind of players like that into the studio, we like to ask them about their teammates, and Kevin was no different. So he's here's our teammates with Cork City captain Kevin Murray.
So we start with an easy enough one. Best trainer.
Probably be Colin Healy. He gives 110% every single session, like, so, you know.
Who's the worst?
Well, I wouldn't be too good myself, like, but I won't say myself. I'll go for Dennis Behan.
Who's the fastest?
Ian Turner.
Slowest?
Myself or Dan Murray.
Who's the most skillful? Who's got all the tricks?
Oh, Garo Morrissey. Well, he can do it, but football is just unbelievable. Like, no, you've got Darren Horgan as well, and Shane Duggan are very skillful, like, but Garo Morrissey with a football is just unbelievable.
Worst fashion sense?
I've just said Dal Kavanagh. Poor fashion sense. Air Max are well gone.
Biggest mess around the place.
So, you know, Neil Horgan, he's we call him the silent assassin, like, you know. He puts in his little comments, like, you know, he's a, you know, he can be quite past remarkable at times, like, you know, so I put him on Hoggy for that.
Who's the loudest in the dressing room?
Dennis Behan. I don't even know why I had to think about that, really. Sorry, Dennis.
Who's, like, the hard man? Who's the toughest guy in the squad?
I suppose, like, when you're looking again, like, you know, on the pitch, like, or in training and stuff, from tackles and stuff like that, you have to say Colin Healy. You know, as I say, like, you know, he's really, you know, his career speaks volumes, like, you know, and he trains the way he plays, like, and he just doesn't pull out of anything, like, and, you know, he would be a hard enough man.
Most intelligent?
Neil Horgan.
The least
intelligent, Garo Morrissey.
Who's got the worst taste in music? Who's always taking over the iPod?
Well, to be fair, like, Ian Turner has control of the iPod, and it's normally good tunes, like, so look, I'm not gonna slate anyone for tunes, because Turner always gonna take control, and they're good, like, to be fair.
Who fancies himself the most? Who's always looking in the mirror?
Darren Denny, he kind of fancies himself a bit, I think, you know, the new lad, like, you know, he seems to fancy it a bit, yeah.
Who's the person who's always late?
To be fair, I know Tommy has a swell drill, like, so nobody really, like, you know, you're fine if you're late, like, so everybody's kind of more or less on time for the majority of it.
Longest in the shower?
I don't be looking, like, so I'm trying to think there of a good answer, like, you know. Longest in the shower would be Gary Buckley. He takes a long time. The Big Red
Bench. Takes a long time. Very good. Just a few things to wrap up in before we go. Simon Zeebo has tweeted an update. So this is what he said. Sport is unpredictable. That's why we love it. Injury is part and parcel in God's hands now. So all will be good. Thanks for the messages. Much love. So fingers crossed Simon Zeebo gets back a lot quicker than the 10 weeks that Declan Kidney thinks it's going to take to recover. Now, just before we get out of here, Aidan, you're our resident expert on everything inside here, really. Going to ask for some predictions on the Champions League during the week. Celtic Juventus.
I told you Celtic were going to win that match already. Pirlo is struggling with an injury, and if he's out, Celtic are going to win.
Real Madrid versus Manchester United at the Bernabeu.
I'm going to go for a draw on that. I'm going to go 1-1.
Arsenal versus Bayern Munich.
That's a tricky one, but I'm going to have to I'm going to have to take Bayern Munich to win that game 2-1.
Okay, and I'll just pull one of the other results or the other fixtures out. Porto versus Malaga.
Porto to win that 2-0.
Just very quickly to wrap up the Premier League today, Manchester United. They are now red hot favourites to win the league because they beat Everton 2-0. Yeah, they're 12 points clear at the top. And elsewhere, Aston Villa have ended their 8-match winless run in the Premier League. They beat West Ham 2-1. We're out of time. All of today's show and yesterday's show will be available on redfm.ie/bigredbench after the show. Ashley's up next with Green on Red. I hope you enjoy the show and have a lovely evening.
Saturdays from 6, Red FM.